Now this morning, I'm going to begin by reading, starting in the book of Galatians. You want to go ahead and turn there. Galatians 1, and I'll begin reading in verse 1. I'm going to be talking more about this letter and why Paul is writing this letter as we get into our message this morning. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul says in verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, my text this morning, I'm going to mainly concentrate on verses 6 through 9 here in Galatians. And the title of my message is The Gospel or Another Gospel. There are many, many false gospels out there today, false preachers and false teachers, false Christians, or Christians in name only. Many who claim to preach the gospel are preaching another gospel, one of a different kind, but there's only one true gospel, and it's set apart by the power and by the glory of God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace and the salvation of sinners by Jesus Christ, the Lord, and his work alone. And that gospel we're going to see this morning is that single message that leaves a sinner with no hope but Jesus Christ and him crucified. It leaves a sinner with no hope of forgiveness but through the blood of Christ and his blood alone. Not his blood plus other things, but his blood alone. It leaves us no hope of our justification before God, but the righteousness of God in Christ. The righteousness that's imputed to his people, charged or accounted to them, which they, by the power of the Spirit, they receive it by faith. God-given faith. Paul the Apostle saw himself as a guardian of that gospel, and not in a self-righteous way, and not as if he could do it by his own power. He said of the ministry, this gospel ministry, who is sufficient for these things? Not us. Man's not sufficient, but our sufficiency is of God. This is a ministry of the gospel. It's not a watered down message. Not a compromised message. And not a false message. But here the Apostle Paul had been in this area of Galatia preaching the gospel. And God raised up churches where the gospel was the foundation, the good news of salvation by grace in Christ. The church that Jesus Christ built. And after Paul left, others began to creep in. Other preachers, other ministers, self-proclaimed, self-taught preachers, claiming to be sent of God, but who preached another gospel. They had fooled and had drawn some of these professing Christians away from the truth. And they did it not by right out denying Christ, but by attempting to add to what Christ alone had accomplished. They could have never drawn these professing Christians away by saying, no, we don't believe in Christ. They came in saying, yeah, we believe in Christ. You must have Christ. But they did this by preaching Christ plus something that you might do or you might be enabled to do. They did it not, like I said, outright denying Christ, but by pushing the doctrine that implied that, yes, you must believe, but in order to really be sure of your salvation, you must also perform certain rituals or certain works included in that old covenant law, like circumcision or keeping a day, a Sabbath, and so forth. Paul says in Galatians 1:6, he says, I marvel, I'm amazed that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ and to another gospel. In other words, you've been swayed unto another gospel. That word another means another of a different kind. I marvel, Paul says. Paul writes that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, unto a message of a different kind, not the true gospel. Then Paul begins in verse 7. He says, which is not another. In other words, there's only one gospel. That is the point that Paul's making here. There are not two gospels or three gospels. The message that these false preachers were preaching was really no gospel. It was no good news. Their doctrine attributed it to sinners, to a sinner's justification, to Christ plus works of law. Therefore, they attempted to mix the grace of God with works of law. Now, this was the doctrine that they were, these false teachers and preachers were preaching to the Galatians. And it was no gospel. It was another gospel. There is but one pure gospel of grace, of the grace of God in Christ. There's but one faith and one doctrine. We have all kinds of denominations in the world today. And they claim to be Christians. They claim to be preaching the gospel. But their message is not the same as the true gospel. You hear in most of professed religion today, especially in the Bible Belt, down here where we live, where people say, we're all believing in the same God, preaching the same Christ, just going different ways. But the scriptures say there's only one way of salvation. It's not two, it's not three or more, not your opinion, it's not my opinion. So you might ask, how can I know if you're telling the truth? How can I know if you're preaching the one true way? Well, there's only one way you can know, and that's by the revelation of God, and that through His Word, the Scriptures, and it being applied by the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Paul said. He says it's not another. There's only one gospel. There's one Lord, one Christ, one way of salvation by grace in God. Many people corrupt the grace of God. That's what these false preachers were doing here. The Bible teaches that salvation is of the Lord, all in Christ and by Christ. It's not by what you do, can do. It's not by you cooperating with God. It's all of Christ. And many people corrupt this because they want to interject and insert the works of sinners into this as forming some part of the ground or the cause of salvation. They have to do this due to most false Christianity's belief in a universal atonement, and which is any religion that teaches that Christ died for all men without exception. So if you believe that doctrine, then the sinner must do something in order to make the difference between the sinner who's saved and the one who's lost. If Christ died for all men without exception, if he shed his blood for all men without exception, if he paid the debt, the sin debt of all men without exception, then it's got to come back to the sinner and something he does to make the difference. It's not what Christ done. It's not what he done when he died and when he lived and when he died and shed his blood. And so automatically, if you believe a universal atonement, that's what you got to do. You got to believe that you make the difference. It's something you got to do. Whether it's your believing, your faith, and you can put anything in there according to how many different false religions you got out there. Well, that's another gospel. It's not the gospel. So Paul writes, Galatians 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And that's what they were doing, perverting. Now, the true gospel is the gospel of Christ. It is the gospel of a person who is Jesus Christ. Paul in Romans chapter 1 called it the gospel of Christ because it is not of man, it's of Christ. Paul says in Romans 1:16-17, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. And then in 17 it says, for therein this gospel that Paul's talking about, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is the gospel of Christ which concerns this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is. Well, who is he? He's God in human flesh. The Bible says in Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Notice it doesn't say he's going to attempt to save everybody. It says he's going to save his people from their sins. Who are his people? I'd like to know that. Well, they're all that the Father gave him. He said in John 6:37, Christ himself. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The Bible says he shall save his people from their sins. False gospel teaches that he's trying to save you if you'll just let him, if you'll just cooperate with him, if you will just be a better person than the fellow that might be right next to you, or who won't believe. That's not the gospel. Then he says in Matthew 1:20, verse 23, his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The gospel of God's grace reveals Christ, who is God and man in one person. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. How? In the person of Jesus Christ, conceived in the womb of a virgin by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin. It says in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, speaking of his humanity. A child is born and unto us a son is given, speaking of his deity. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is God in human flesh. He's the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us down here on this earth. So what should be preached in this gospel message, the true gospel? Well, it says in Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The gospel is the revelation of the righteousness of God. What is this righteousness of God? It's the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ to secure and ensure the salvation and eternal life and glory of all for whom he lived and died and was buried and rose again on the third day. It's the merits of his obedience unto death. It's not your merits and not my merits. It's not the merit of faith or repentance. Those are gifts of God. But it's the merits of Christ, whole work of salvation and redemption. That's the righteousness of God. His blood to put away the sins of His elect and bring forgiveness. Christ's righteousness imputed, charged, accounted to me in order to give me a complete, a perfect, eternal, unchangeable right standing before God. So that I'm accepted before God not based on my works, but based on Christ's work and His work alone. For it says in Ephesians 1, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved, in Christ. So don't pervert that by injecting the works of sinners as to attaining, maintaining salvation. Ephesians 2, beginning verse 8, says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto, not because of, but unto good works, which God hath had before ordained that we should walk in them. The works of a believer are not the cause of salvation. They're not the merits for blessings or rewards. They are the fruit of the grace and power of goodness of God in Christ. It's called fruit unto God in Romans chapter 7. Then he says in Galatians 1 verse 8, but though we, that is an apostle, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Nobody is going to be saved under a false gospel. I don't care what happened to you. I don't care how you might have felt. Our pastor used to say, feelings come, feelings go. I don't care what dreams or visions you might have had. You see the gospel, not another gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Another gospel will surely damn your soul. And that's the truth. Because other gospel will not lead you to Christ. A false gospel or another gospel will lead you to Christ plus something else. Then he says in Galatians 1:9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. This word accursed is a very strong word, which one meaning would be separated from the faithful, cast out of the church. You see, there's the gospel, then there's another gospel. I say other gospel because there's many, many gospels in the world today, false gospel, and they come in many different forms. Well, how can I know the difference between the true gospel and other gospels that are out there? We've already went over a lot of things here to gauge it by, but let's go over a few questions here. A few questions here concerning the true gospel. Or another gospel. Am I believing the gospel? Or am I believing a false gospel? First question here is, whatever gospel you're hearing, or whatever you call gospel, does it exalt the sovereign mercy of God as the only and entire reason and cause of salvation? Or does it bring salvation down to you? Or does it put salvation in your hands in some way, some degree? You see, the gospel is a gospel of sovereign grace and sovereign mercy. Salvation is of the Lord, and it's not of man. Most preachers stand before the congregation, and they may bring forth sentimentality, and they may say something like, now, God has done everything He can do to save you. Now the rest is up to you. That statement says that Christ really didn't finish the job of saving you. That kind of preaching is another gospel. It's not the true gospel. Because if God has done everything he can do, then rest assured that it's a done deal. God's sovereign, and I hear preachers reasoning in their own mind, and that's where all false religion starts, is in our mind. Well, they reason, well, God wouldn't step on your dignity or step on your free will. That kind of statement is not scriptural. That's the philosophies and religions of man. That's another gospel. God's sovereign. The Bible says God saves whom he will. Concerning salvation, the apostle says in Romans 9, verse 16, so then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. You say, well, does that shut me out of heaven? Oh, no. The only thing that will shut you out of heaven is your unbelief, not believing this gospel. Your stubbornness, your rebellion, your self-righteousness and pride, and your ignorance of that only true gospel. So what do? Well, you bow to the mercy of God. Be like the old publican who beat on his breast saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Well, what is it to call upon his name? It's to bow to his sovereign mercy through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to say, I have no hope but Christ and what he accomplished. And that's all I need is what Christ accomplished. Now, the second question here is, does the gospel that you're hearing, does it place salvation in some way, to some degree, and at some stage upon the sinner? Or does it place it totally upon the Lord Jesus Christ? The answer is the true gospel places salvation in every way, in every degree, and at every stage, conditioned and based entirely upon Christ and him alone. And that's why it's a sure thing. If it's not based on that, it cannot be sure, because it's based on something that you do or something that you're enabled to do. It can never be a sure thing if conditions are placed on the sinner. That's why we can believe in Christ and rest in him, because Christ has fulfilled all the conditions and requirements that God the Father required. And God the Father is satisfied with what Christ has accomplished on the behalf of all of the elect whom Christ represented. The Father said, this is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Here he is. But other gospels place salvation in some way, to some degree, or at some stage upon the sinner, either to get saved, as people say, or to stay saved. I hear these people talk about you can be saved one day and then lost the next. That's another gospel. Do you know why? Well, do you know why you can be lost like that, saved and then lost? Because it's conditioned on them, on their works, their efforts, and their faith, and not on Christ alone. We need to remember that if we can gain salvation by something that we do or something that we're enabled to do, then we can surely lose that salvation by something that we do or something that we failed to do. If we can gain it, we can lose it. That salvation by works, that's another gospel. There's only one true gospel, and that's the security that a sinner has in Christ. Third question here. The gospel that you're hearing, does it provide a perfect righteousness before God? Before God's holiness and justice, and a suitable atonement and sacrifice before God's justice, revealing God to be just, be both a just God and a Savior. In Isaiah 45:22, the Lord said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I'm God and there is none else. He said in Isaiah 45:21, there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. there's none beside me. How can God be both a just and a righteous and a holy God and still have mercy and grace and love sinners? How can He be both a righteous judge and judge according to truth and do what's right according to Himself, honor His holiness and His justice, and still save sinners like us? How can He be both a just God and a Savior? Has that question or that issue ever been raised and answered scripturally in the gospel that you hear? If it hasn't, I'm afraid you're listening to another gospel, not the gospel. Most of what false gospels are teaching is manward and not Godward, which reveals God's glory in salvation, in the salvation of sinners. That is, if it's Godward. You see, the only way that God can be both a just God and a Savior is through the blood and the righteousness of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in the blood of Christ, in His death, and in all that He accomplished, in His obedience unto death, God provides for His people all that His justice demands. Christ satisfied the law and the justice of God by His death, and it was the mercy and love and grace of God that sent Him. Romans 5:21 says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. God's a merciful God. He's a loving God. He's a compassionate God, a gracious God. But He will not show love, mercy, and grace apart from His justice being satisfied. That's why Christ came and died on the cross. God's justice had to be satisfied for His those who He chose before the foundation of earth, His elect, whom Christ represented. He had to come and die on the cross, shed His blood in their behalf. That's why He made a perfect, complete atonement for all the sins of His people. That's why His death did not make salvation possible if sinners would just cooperate with Him. His death secures and ensures the eternal salvation of all for whom He lived, died, was buried, and rose from the dead. And that's what righteousness is. Now, the fourth question here, the gospel that you're hearing, does it shut every door of salvation in heaven but Christ and Him alone? Does it bar every way but Christ? Does it destroy every hope but Christ? Does it present Him, the God-man, and His finished work, His blood, and His righteousness as your life, your hope, your salvation, your acceptance before God the Father? Or does it add your works, your efforts, your cooperation, even your faith? You see, we must have faith, but our faith does not save us. Christ saves us. Even when the Lord told the woman with the issue of blood, "Thy faith has made thee whole," you've got to ask yourself the question in the context, what was her faith? Her faith looked to Christ for salvation. That's what her faith was. Now, the fifth question here, does the gospel that you're hearing, does it give a real sense of eternal security in Christ? Or does it bring the law down on you at every turn in order to keep you in line? I was at a place Friday at noon, getting my oil changed. And I went in the little waiting room, waiting for them to finish up. And when I went in there, there was a little book on the table. It was a religious book. I saw that right off. I just kind of took it and turned a few pages. The only name that I seen doing it real fast like that was something Dr. Jeremiah. There must be a preacher, false preacher out there named Jeremiah. The reason I say that, because I see what he's writing right here. Had this in bold print live without spot. That caught my eye. I said, well, maybe he's saying something about Christ's righteousness imputed. That garment that the elect wear. And so I started reading down it. Here's what it says. A spot or a stain stands out. It's easy to see. It's something that's out of place and needs to be removed. This spot is the same as the spot in Ephesians 5:27 that Christ died to remove from his church. That sounds okay. She's saying Christ died and removed the sins. Then he says these spots are moral and spiritual imperfections, sins, that Christ came to remove both now and for eternity. That sounds okay. But then he started telling me what was in his heart. He says this, are there spots or sins on your life that you know shouldn't be there? Don't be lackadaisical about them. Clean them so that you will be a spotless and blameless bride when he returns. See, that's what he's looking to. See, by saying that, he's telling me that he believes a man can be sinless and that you need to work on these sins and get rid of them where you can be sinless, spotless, live without spot. Nothing about Christ, nothing about what he quoted that up there earlier about Ephesians 5:27. But then he went manward. And that really speaks on false religion. That really speaks on where I was at one time. And it tells me a lot about that other gospel. Now, you know, that's the same thing that was happening to these Galatians right here. These false preachers claim to preach Christ and to believe in Christ and to believe salvation by grace. But they sought to bring the law back down on people in order to keep them in line. You got to get rid of those sins. You got to keep the law in order to make yourself without spot or blemish. Does it take the legal threats and mercenary promises of the law of God to keep you in line? Well, if it does, my friend, you're not hearing the gospel. You're hearing another gospel. The true gospel motivates by the power of the Holy Spirit. It motivates His people to obedience and love, motivated by grace and gratitude, as willing and loving bond slaves in Christ. You see, those who preach the true gospel, the one and only gospel, Christ and Him crucified and risen, He is the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes unto the Father but by Him. Those who preach that gospel, we don't have to whip people with the law. We preach the love of God in Christ. That's the Holy Spirit's motivation to bring God's people in line with the truth and the glory of God in their obedience. It's the obedience of grace, not law. And it's the eternal security that they have in Christ. In other words, they serve Him not to be saved or not to stay saved and not to earn rewards, but they serve Him because all of that is already earned and secured by what Christ did on the cross. That's the true gospel. It's not Christ plus gospel. It's Christ is everything. He's all. The gospel or another gospel.